Yo, and here we go with another edition of We Talk Wrestling with Addy and Mo. Hey, yo, I'm Addy.
Hey, yo, I'm Mo, and we got something cool going on here today. I think this will be fun, Addy.
We do, I think. So why don't you explain to the masses what we're going to do there, Tubby McFatfuck?
You were pissed off last episode. You didn't get to use that. So,
I know.
So there you go, Tubby McFatfuck. Oh, I wish we hadn't seen that movie, Ted, together, because that's my new nickname. This week, what we're doing is we're just going to have a little bit of fun, and what we're going to do is we're going to talk about some promos that are great promos. Maybe they're well-known. Maybe they're ones that people might have missed, and we're going to play them in their entirety after we introduce them and talk about them a little bit for people, so that just kind of spread a show out that is a little bit different and a little bit fun. So that's the concept. So we're going to go from there. So why don't you open up with the first promo?
Well, I was just going to say, for full disclosure, just in case another
wrestler... You don't own any
of
these promos? We should mention.
Well, we do. Well, okay, yeah, you could do that too, for legal purposes. I was just going to say, for full disclosure, because we announced at the end of last show just that because of our it's Canada Day. It's also some of my sisters getting married the whole weekend, so we've got some other commitments and shit that we got to do. So just in case, I just want to say that just in case someone's listening to this on say like July the 2nd, and you know someone over the weekend like offs their family or something, we're recording this ahead of time. Just, why the fuck didn't they talk about it? That's why. So we just thought we'd do something a little bit fun, a little timeless, so we didn't have to worry about the concept of news or anything like that. So, but yeah,
wait a second.
Almost.
Your sister getting married? Because
I know.
I don't think I've been invited.
No, I know. I know.
All right, then.
Okay.
Moving on.
You go. Moving on. Well, the only thing was is that she had a 100-seat church put in, right? So you can see if you had shown up, then
she'd
she
only
couldn't
have 50.
She'd only have room for like 20 more people.
I'm not that fat.
Well, please.
Right. Let's go to your first promo.
The first promo. I think this is one of my favorite promos. And it involves the Macho Man Randy Savage, WrestleMania 4, Hulk Hogan's promo from WrestleMania 4 with everybody falling into the ocean floor and Donald Trump falling into the ocean floor. That seems to be the one that gets the most play, really.
Yeah.
From it. And the Andre choking out Bob Uecker is the one that gets the most airtime, But Savage there talking about how he's going to take the torch of the mega powers now. That once Hogan has been eliminated, this promo airs after Hogan had been eliminated, and of course he's saying Hulk Hogan was a cheated man, not a defeated man. In fact, Hulk Hogan's never been beaten, not by me, not by you, not by Andre the Giant, not by the Million Dollar Man. Understand? Right there, yeah. But then he just goes on and talks about how he's gonna win. Right? History beckons a Macho Man is what he said in WrestleMania 3. Well, this is just him taking that one step further and saying that he was going to win. He's going to go all the way. Yeah,
that's a great first choice. And what is it that you know? That was a great promo. What is it about it that made it stand out in your mind, though?
Well, you know what it was. Again, it was the fact that it was the babyface. It was you know again the babyface guaranteeing victory and coming through with it, right? It was just showing that it was, again, giving him the, maybe not as long as Hogan gets, but it was that soliloquy time to cut a promo, you know, whatever it was, even if it's 3 minutes, right? Mm-hmm. It's just him showing that he can do that, and that's what was expected of the top guy at the time is to be able just to come out and talk, right? Talk to Mean Gene. He could do it, and it just, it was gaining that momentum because it was done halfway through his, his four-match run. So I think it was done before he beat the Gang maybe too. So, just halfway through the run, and it was just, again, just Randy Savage, right?
All right, let's cut to it now.
All right, surprises, surprises. I cannot believe that one of those two men did not advance, but that's the way it comes down, Macho Man. You and Elizabeth and myself have been watching your thoughts.
Hulk Hogan is a cheated man, not a defeated man. In fact, Hulk Hogan has never been defeated. Not by me, not by you, not by Andre the Giant, not by Ted DiBiase, you understand? Right there, yeah.
All right, now, there is more to come. You have advanced, quite obviously, Macho Man Randy Savage. Speculate, if you will, for us on your chances. Greg the Hammer Valentine up in round two.
Well, I've had the blessings of the Mania all along, and I'm figuring and thinking that nothing's going to stop the Macho Man Randy Savage now. The madness, yeah, the madness with that momentum, and multiply with the momentum of, Hulkamania, nothing is going to stop. One here for the mega powers from going all the way to the end, all the way to the championship. Yeah, I'm going to take it all. Yeah, I'm going to take it all. Elizabeth, am I going to take it all or what?
Yes, what about it, Elizabeth?
I believe he is.
I'll tell you what, you keep smiling. That's got to be a great inspiration to the Macho Man, Randy Savage, as he advances in the championship elimination tournament here at Part of WrestleMania 4. Gorilla Jesse, let's get back to you.
Doing it, yeah.
Macho Man is extremely confident. Definitely, and now it's time to get on with our second bout of the second round.
All right, great. That's a great first choice, because I do think that's one that that is an excellent promo, but I don't think people do remember it that well. I'm actually really looking forward to listening back to this show myself, because it's like I have a vague memory of that promo. Don't remember it as well as I'd like, and I think I'm going to be enjoying listening to these promos as much as anybody else as we go back through this. So I'm going to kick to mine, and because we're the Canada Day long weekend, of course, it's July 4th in the States, and I'm going to something that I think it's one of those promos that to some degree it changed history, because I mean the Iron Sheik and Sergeant Slaughter feud did set records. It was one of the hottest feuds you could possibly ever imagine. And, right. Of course, I'm not an American, I'm Canadian, and yet when I hear this promo, this baby-faced promo from Sergeant Slaughter, as he turns babyface against Iron Sheik after being a hated heel for so long, and you know, God bless America type deal, when he does it, even though I'm from another country, I still feel it. I feel his passion, his patriotism, and it's a great
promo. The Pledge of Allegiance?
The Pledge of Allegiance, yeah. And it's an awesome, awesome promo, and one of my favorites of all time. I think it's just the crowd goes crazy, the delivery is great, and it's a real moment in a worked sport, and I thought it was just awesome.
And again, what happens with that too is you talk about how they used to have. I mean, girl, why don't you say that continuity is so important? But it was the continuity of the storylines as well, because Iron Sheik. Or Sergeant Slaughter had just come out of a feud with Pat Patterson, right? And now he's moving on and is going to have the matches with the Iron Sheik, correct?
Yeah, that's
right. And so what he does is he opens up the promo by acknowledging his former feud, right?
Yep.
Because the first words out of his mouth was, "I pledge allegiance to the fag."
I didn't want to go there. Of course you did. Pat Patterson is a homosexual, folks.
Really?
Yeah. Huh. Oh, all right, you prick. We're going to cut to it right now, and then we'll come back with your next one.
Hyper perfection. Well, now, the roar of the crowd, the boos and jeers for this man stepping into the ring. The Iron Sheik there with his manager, Freddie Blassie, holding high aloft the colors of the Iron Sheik as he waves the flag about this capacity crowd. And these tactics are not appreciated at all. Let's begin the matchup.
Now, ladies and gentlemen, the next contest set for one fall with a 10-minute time limit. Introducing in the corner to my right from Lexington, Tennessee, weighing 225 pounds, it is Eddie Gilbert. And his opponent in the corner to my left from Iran, weighing in at 268 pounds, here is the former World Wrestling Federation heavyweight champion, the Iron Sheik.
Iron Sheik. There's a look at some of the fans about ringside. They have their own colors out. Old Glory, USA number one, and quite a nationalistic crowd here this week. As Freddie Blassie prepares the Iron Sheik for a one-on-one confrontation with Eddie Gilbert, it should be an excellent matchup. Sheik somewhat upset, no doubt, about this partisan crowd about ringside, and he should be upset indeed, because he will see, as he peers out in this vast audience, very few friends, very few fans at all. Eddie Gilbert, on the other hand, will have all kinds of support in this match, so we look forward to Eddie Gilbert with that kind of support being able to take Iron Sheik all the way to the limit. Gilbert, a tough matchup against the rope there. Gilbert retaliates. Gilbert is no slouch for anyone. He'll hold his own against any one individual in pro wrestling today. And you talk about fire and desire, this young man has it.
Oh, it's such a very, very important element. The emotional upbringing of Eddie Gilbert. Look at him go to work on a cheek with a reversal, but look at Gilbert. Earlier, we heard the chant of, "We want Slaughter." That could only mean one thing, Sergeant Slaughter. Uh-oh. Now, ladies and gentlemen, there it is, the submission of the Camel Clutch, and enough is enough. Eddie Gilbert not able to withstand the tremendous pain that he experiences with that particular move on the part of the Iron Sheik. Listen to the chanting.
"We want Slaughter." Everyone wants him but the Iron Sheik.
Look at USA!
He's better. Look out. Wait a minute.
Hold on.
Sergeant Slaughter. Just came in. Sergeant Slaughter. Holy pelt.
Oh. Oh, my word. Out of left field. Sergeant Slaughter coming to the ring.
He said something about USA, and Slaughter came in the ring like a cannon.
Wow. You Slaughter. Talk about your action, Vince McMahon.
Well, you can bet that Slaughter is counting the moments until he can get his paws on Hot Iron Sheik.
Now the chant of USA. On the part of this capacity crowd here this week with us on Championship Wrestling. Eddie Gilbert trying to collect himself. The Sarge reverting back to his fatigue.
Let's listen to this now.
Iron Sheik! Iron Sheik, I hope you can hear me. I've been ambushed a lot of times over in Vietnam. I've been wounded. I've got scars from bayonets. I've been down before. I've been Pearl Harbor before. The United States has been down before, but we've always fought our way back. We've always fought our way back. Iron Sheik, I declare war on you. War! Because there's one thing that I've done since I was a kid. Ever since I was knee-high, I went to school through the Boy Scouts to the Marines. And I'm saying it right now to you, Iron Sheik, I pledged allegiance to the flag of the United States of America, to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
The one and the only, Sergeant Slaughter. And this capacity crowd, listen to him.
USA! 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 There is indeed only one, Sergeant Slaughter. He uses roughhouse tactics, no doubt of that, but indeed very proud of his citizenship as well as he should be. I'm sure we'll be seeing a great deal more of Sergeant Slaughter in weeks to come here on All American Wrestling. When we return, we shall have with us the likes of Bob Backlund. And Bob Backlund, ladies and gentlemen, long before he became World Wrestling Federation champion.
All right, so that was, and again, like you said, it's not an American. Certainly had everybody going with that, so that was definitely a good promo. Another one that, again, a little bit off the beaten path, I guess it will go, because some of mine are a little more popular, I guess. But another one that that I thought was really good and stands out to me was there was a cage match in February of 1997, February or March of 1997, on Monday Night Raw for the WWF title with Bret Hart against the champion Psycho Sid. This was leading into WrestleMania 13. And after that match, Sid won because of interference from The Undertaker and Steve Austin. Vince McMahon walks into the ring as they're taking the cage down to ask, Bret, he says, well, Bret, you must be very frustrated for your loss. And he shoves down Vince McMahon and, says, frustrated is not the goddamn word for it. This is bullshit. And he just goes on. And it's one of his best, whiny promos. When you talk about him crying, that was him, the quote-unquote crying about everything that's happened, right? It's just that frustration that just built up to the point where he couldn't take it anymore. It all comes right out.
This is it, though. I mean, he's able to find the real moment in this. It is acting, right? And this is where he had just come back from working on Lonesome Dove and kind of trying to polish his acting. And I think he was taking that – of trying to find logic thing, because I do believe, and this is what I understand, he was trying.
Sorry, a
little bit of audio problems there for a second. He was trying to find the logic behind it. I do believe behind the scenes that he was uncomfortable with some of the language that he was told to be said out there. I mean, he was saying that himself, that he was uncomfortable with saying that.
You know what? That's fucking bullshit. Because Bret Hart, no, seriously, Bret Hart's the fucking. He's always said that, especially when the Attitude Era was coming and he was going to WCW. Well, I'm very uncomfortable with this. Fucking Bret Hart was always the guy. Fucking bullshit, swearing. He was always the guy. I watched a Raw, shocking again, from like 1995. That was the Jerry Lawler had just beaten Bret Hart on the In Your House on Mother's Day after Bret had beaten Hakushi, and it was his second match, and he beat him. And it was like 2 weeks later on Raw that Bret comes out, and he's like, I can't believe I lost to you. And he's like, I need to get another match. And he's like, you piece of shit, name your match. And he's going on about it. So Bret Hart was swearing back then. So
Isn't Bret Hart that said, fuck you, those are Ray-Bans? Isn't that his line, talking about his glasses?
Yeah, yeah.
Kid of the day. Oh, yeah, no, Bret Hart was always swearing. But anyways, he always said he was uncomfortable with that. But the point is, though, that whether he was or wasn't, despite how he was, what he was saying that he was uncomfortable, he went out there and did nail that as a great promo. That promo was decisive, though, because the language was what they weren't quite as used to. And I know at least one person that stopped watching wrestling because of that promo. Because he was he found that uncomfortable. He's like, yeah. So, I mean, that's interesting. But I think it's a great moment, too. I think we should...
Like the back of a Volkswagen?
All right, let's cut to it now.
This consummate Bret Hart.
He's got to be terribly frustrated.
Extremely frustrated over what has just happened.
Whoa! Frustrated isn't the goddamn word for it! This is bullshit!
Oh, we apologize, ladies and gentlemen.
You screwed me! Everybody screwed me! And nobody does a goddamn thing about it! Nobody in the building cares! Nobody in the dressing room cares! So much goddamn injustice around here! I've had it up to here!
We apologize, ladies and gentlemen.
Everybody knows it. I know it. Everybody knows it. I should be the World Wrestling Federation champion.
Get him out of the ring.
Everybody just keeps turning a blind eye. You keep turning a blind eye to it. I got that Gorilla Monsoon. He turns a blind eye to it. Everybody in that goddamn dressing room knows that I'm the best there is, the best there was, and the best there ever will be.
Cut him off.
If you don't like it, tough shit.
All right, we're back. That's excellent. Excellent stuff. You know what? We're going to talk about promos on Raw. I'm going to talk about the one that I'm going to play it because I've talked about it before. You've talked about it. But I don't know how much this is forgotten, but I don't think it's talked about enough. That's for sure. And that's the Joey Styles Backlash promo.
Yeah.
Because I just do love it. I just do think that that's where he came out. The true Joey Styles, came out. And he just cut this awesome, awesome promo on the company. And you know what? In some ways, it has the same – people talk about the CM Punk promo. This has the same tone in a lot of ways. And I don't think people talk about it nearly enough.
Joey, come on in, Joey. Joey, sit down, okay?
You know, we're doing a live TV
show. I realize that, and we're the general managers. But you know why you're here? Because you have no spirit.
Just calling the matches. I'm doing my job.
Well, you're doing a lousy job. You have a distinct lack of spirit. And it's appalling. Kenny is about to become the youngest WWE champion of all time. And he doesn't need your negative energy bringing him down. Negative energy? I'm just doing my job.
Uh-huh.
You're going to have to do a better job tonight. Because if you don't, we're going to tell Mr. McMahon to have you wear this next week during Raw. Show him, Mikey.
You ready, buddy?
Cha-ching!
Oh, no. Hold it out. Let's see.
Lucky you.
It's going to fit tight.
That looks good. It's just your colors. Ooh.
We had 4 cheerleaders out there tonight. And next week, it looks like we're going to have one more. Because we had one of these made in just your size. Now let me hear you say it. The new WWE champion is Kenny.
Are you serious?
Just say it.
Do what you're told.
Say it.
The new WWE champion is Kenny.
That's pathetic!
What is wrong with you?
Again, with more spirit! Say it again.
The new WWE champion is Kenny!
Let me show you how it's done! Oh my god!
The new WWE champion! Kenny!
Now get out there and start practicing and finish your job.
Get out of here!
Do your job! With you.
The new champion, Kenny! Kenny! Kenny!
Okay, everyone. He's coming back. That's right now. Let's hear it for lead announcer and future cheerleader, Joey Styles! Come on, Joey! Come here, Joey. Wait, real quick, Joey. Let me hear you say your line. Let me hear you say it. The new WWE champion is Kenny. Come on, say it, Joey. Say it with spirit.
How about if we just do our jobs, King, call a wrestling match?
Come on, Joey. Let's show some spirit. Come on. Listen, if you were in the ECW, you'd be showing that spirit. I can hear it now. Oh, my God. Come on, Joey.
If this was ECW, I wouldn't be working with a hack like you.
Oh, you know what? No. That's good, Joey. That's showing some spirit. You're finally showing some spirit. I like that.
King, you want to see some spirit? spirit. That's the spirit. That's good, Joey. We like spirit. I wouldn't be working with a hack like you. Oh, you know what? No. That's good, Joey. That's showing some spirit. You're finally showing some spirit. I like that. King. You want to see some spirit? Let me just say this. During the break, I apologize to the fans here. Right now, I want to take this opportunity to apologize to you, Joey Styles. My fault. Just trying to have a little fun. It got out of hand. I'm sorry. Come back out and let's finish the rest of this show. My bad. Come on, Joey. Come on, Joey. Come on back out here. Come on. You want to apologize like nothing happened. Like you didn't knock me on my ass in front of millions of people worldwide. And I'm going to come down there and work with you. I'm not coming back. And now, thanks to the magic of live television, I'm going to show the whole world why for 7 years in ECW, I was the unscripted, uncensored, loose cannon of commentary. Six months ago, WWE called me. I didn't call this company because I was looking for a job. I didn't need a job. WWE called me. Because they had humiliated and fired again Jim Ross. So I get JR's spot. And from week one, week after week, I've got an ongoing lecture about the differences in professional wrestling and sports entertainment. I'm not allowed to say pro wrestling. I'm not allowed to say wrestler. I have to say sports entertainment and refer to the wrestlers as superstars. I'm told to deliberately ignore the moves and the holds during the matches so I can tell stories. Well, ignoring the moves and the holds is damn insulting to the athletes, the wrestlers, not the entertainers, who leave their families 300 days a year to ply their craft in that ring. There's the best part. Because I'm not a sports entertainment storyteller, I get pulled from WrestleMania. And the reason I'm given is because I don't sound like Jim Ross, who's the guy they fired in the first place. That makes sense, right? So I swallow the bitter pill. I'm a company guy. I get bumped from WrestleMania. Then I get bumped from Backlash. I'm not good enough to call Backlash in ECW.
I called live pay-per-views on my own. Solo. No color commentators dragging me down. Wasn't done before me. Hasn't been done since. But I'm not good enough to call backlash because I'm not a sports entertainment storyteller. Well, you know what? I am sick of sports entertainment. I am sick of male cheerleaders. I am sick of boogers and bathroom humor and semen, and I am sick of our chairman who likes to talk about his own semen. He mocks God. He mocks God and makes out with the divas all to feed his own insatiable ego. I am sick of sports entertainment. And most of all, I'm sick of you fans who actually buy into that crap, this sports entertainment circus. I never needed this job, and I don't want this job anymore. I quit.
You know, we brought Joey Styles up from the gutter, and it looks like he just got homesick. Maybe Joey Styles will feel more at home in a bingo hall kissing Paul Heyman's ass. Idiot.
All right, we're back. Let's go to yours, Dan.
Backlash? Backlash? I love that. We'll move on to, which I mean, a lot of this great, great promo, men. Another guy just known for his promos was Jake the Snake. There was a promo after, I believe it was after Tuesday in Texas, when Jake Roberts had pushed down, struck Elizabeth, and Gene Okerlund's going, "This is appalling," and you know all that, and he's going, "Yeah." He goes, and he went on about just being, it was complete scum of the earth promo, right? You know, maybe I can turn her into something even I would like, you know, just, but it really just, you know, was the peak, to me anyway, of Jake Roberts and his trust me heel character. And that one just stuck out to me that way.
Now, one of the things about that one is, that wasn't the one where he references clubbing baby seals, is it? So that's a line I've never forgotten.
Oh, no, I don't know if that was it, if that was the one. I thought Clubbing Baby Seals was onto the lead-up on a funeral parlor, perhaps.
Okay, but I just never forget that line.
That was tremendous.
Tremendous. Absolutely. Let's get to it now.
Still pissed off. It never was there, Tony. I gave you my word. It's not right there.
What's he saying?
He said he gave his word to Jeff Hardy, and there was no snake in the corner, but what's this?
Uh-oh.
Oh, my God. Oh, my God. He's got it. He's got it. The bag that contains the cobra. I said he may be reinstated, but he'll probably be terminated, and here we go. And look at this, Jake the Snake talking now. Oh, it's Elizabeth out of nowhere. You better get her out of there. Elizabeth covering her man. She's bleeding.
Jake, get out! I'm telling you, he's got enough!
between Jake and her man. Elizabeth putting her own life on the line. She's not thinking about a straight head. There's something wrong with her. Who cares about your old man? Get out of there. Savage never learned that. Savage still semi-conscious.
Macho Man on the receiving end of, what, two, three DDTs?
after being victorious in the match. Wow. Holy mackerel. It's pandemonium here in San Antonio. Let's take you now to Mean Gene.
Congratulate me, Gene, huh?
After taking a look at that, you are a bona fide sicko, Jake Roberts. Hitting a woman? How could you?
A woman? No man wants a woman that's going to lay down and grovel and beg for somebody's life. If it's a woman that I want her to stand up. Stand up and be that. Be what I want. As far as slapping her, yeah, I slapped her, but I'll slap myself. I'll slap you, Gene Okerlund. But I'll tell you something, Randy Savage. DDT and you was fine. That really felt good. But the best feeling I've ever had in my life is when I grabbed a hold of your woman's hair, man, and jerked her up off of her knees. Huh? That was good. And then when I put my hand across her face, my man, it felt so good I should have to pay for that. Yeah, I would pay to do that. So the next time you think about crossing this snake's path and a snake chooses its own path where nobody else wants to go, you think about it again. But if you do decide to, please do me one little favor. I'm begging you, please bring her back. Let me touch her again.
Oh, get out of here, please, Robert.
I can cultivate her into something that even I could want.
Oh, please.
I could do that. Trust me. Trust me.
Please. I refuse to. Gorilla Monsoon, let's get back. Get out of here. Get the hell out of here.
All right, we're flying through these, but that's good. And hopefully, like I say, everybody's having fun listening to these. I'm going to talk about one that is famous, but I still think people haven't heard that much. And not just the one interview. I'm going to be putting into this not just the one interview that people might know, but the follow-up interviews, because none of them are that long here. And that's Archie the Stomper Goldie and Bad News Allen.
Yes.
This is great stuff. Stampede Wrestling. The storyline was that they brought in Archie the Stomper Goldie, who had been a heel forever. They brought in his son. Now, this person wasn't his real son, but the point was that in this match that the Stomper and Bad News Allen, the other hated heel in the territory, teamed with his son, and the son cost him the match. So Allen beat the shit out of his son. And I mean beat the shit out of his son. And Archie standing up for his son. And this is just great, great stuff. You remember it, Addy?
Oh yeah, I mean it's talking people. I mean it was to the point where they couldn't run in the pavilion.
Yeah,
you know.
Yeah, this angle created so much heat that the commission didn't want them running. Ed Whalen quit over this.
Yes, that's right. That's right.
Yeah, it just felt so real, even though it wasn't. The performances are just remarkable.
Well, and like you said, it wasn't his real son, right?
Yeah, exactly.
But the greatest...
it's a money promo.
The greatest... Canada's greatest wrestler, though.
Archie the Stomper Goldie, according to Bret Hart, and, you know, he'd know better than me.
Yeah. Right. You would think so.
You would think so. Let's get to it.
It's the Stomper! Allen hit the Stomper. They got the Stomper jammed in this corner. Kerry Brown has got him wrapped up. And Bad News Allen is going against the Stomper. Now takes a run at young Jeff Goldie. Going after Jeff Goldie, flings him out of there. Kerry Brown joins him in front of the ring. So busy jawing with the crowd. I've never seen anything like that.
Let me tell you something. Archer, the Stomper Goldie, I've been planning this for a long time. You've been running your mouth that you wanted my belt. You wanted the championship from me. But you thought tagging up with me was going to make me to forget the vendetta I had for you. Put the camera over there and take a look at this man. Take a look at him. Take a look at his son there. I broke his neck. I crippled him. I helped the son of a gun die. Look at his office. Take a look at him. Look at the man there. Look at him.
Well, I am... In a state of shock, that's all.
I have never seen anything quite like this. Stopper, I don't know if you have. I've never seen anything like it.
No, Ed?
It was ridiculous.
That kid has asked me to train him to wrestle since he was old enough to talk. I've trained him. I didn't want him to start. I didn't want him to wrestle. But he begged me and he said, Dad, I want to follow in your footsteps. I want to be a professional wrestler. I said, okay, Jeff. A few matches down in the States where he went to school. He said, Dad, I want to go up and I want to wrestle in front of my grandma and my uncles and aunts and nieces and everybody else up in my home, our home country up in Western Canada. So I brought him up here and I said, I'm not real proud of it. Bringing him up here, bringing him anywhere and starting him. I'm not real proud of it at all. I've been called a lot of things in my career since I've been a professional wrestler. But one thing that nobody can ever say is I've taken advantage of a young boy. I've wrestled young boys in the ring. But I've never taken advantage of them like that kid was taken advantage of tonight. A couple people involved here, Ed. One of them trained with me for several days in the gymnasium, right beside me and my son, sweating together, our own sweat, getting ready for the big one, patting them on the back, say, kid, this is the big one, this is your chance. Take them out here on the concrete floor. They just took them away in the ambulance. I'm not going to holler and scream tonight, Edward. First thing I'm going to do is I'm going to the hospital and see how my kid is. And I'm going to say, Jeff, I'm sorry. You're not going to wrestle anymore. But I am. Wrestle some more. And it's time to get even. That might be the wrong thing to say in a situation like now, maybe a time like this. But I'm sure not going to go up and shake the man's hand that did it to my son.
No.
And you know, we are professional wrestlers. I'm not out here crying for myself. I'm just sorry I started my son in the wrestling profession. But I'm still fine and well. And just as soon as I leave that hospital and find out my kid is okay, I'm coming back to the ring, Edward. And I don't know which one I'm going to take on first. But I'm going to put everything aside. I'm going to put all the championship belts away back in the corner, the furthest thing from my mind. I'm going to get the man that hurt my son. And I promise him, he's going to be the sorriest individual that ever put on a pair of wrestling boots or ever stepped into the squared circle.
I don't have to remind the people out there what happened last Friday night in the Victoria Pavilion. Everybody saw my kid been carried out in a stretcher, taken away in the ambulance to the Holy Cross Hospital. I've had a whole week to think about it. I sat with my kid hour after hour, promising that I'd get a hold of Bad News Ellen. I'd tear me off some hide. But this week, Calgary Boxing and Wrestling Commission. I don't know what happened to them. I guess they don't have the courage. They couldn't see me getting a hold of bad news out in the city of Calgary. They suspended Stu Hart's license. But I was there at the pavilion last night trying to get in myself. The doors were locked. There was 4,000 people out there in the freezing cold. So I got on the phone and I phoned the chief at the Sarcee Indian Reservation. I said, "Chief, I want to rent your building. I want to rent it bad. Because I got a guy that I want to put in the ring and I want to get a hold of, because he's going to pay for every minute my son is laying there with that cast around his neck." Chief said, "Fine, Archie. I'd love to have that match out here right on the reservation." So I rented the Sarcee Seven Chiefs Arena, a half mile west of the city limits on Anderson Road. And I said, "Chief, you're going to have to raise the prices here, because this is not going to be cheap. Because Bad News Allen's hospital bill is going to be high. And he's going to have to make a lot of money to pay for that hospital bill." She said, "Whatever you want, Archie." So we're going to have raised prices at the Sarcee Seven Chiefs Arena. First come, first served. And for those 4,000 people that were down there tonight waiting in the freezing cold of Victoria Pavilion last night, come on out to Sarcee tonight. Because, people, I want to tell you something. This is serious business. This is in my family. That's my 19-year-old son that was hurt, and he was hurt bad. He's got a cracked collarbone. He's finished as a professional wrestler, and I'm his daddy. And I said, "One other thing, Chief. I don't want any police out there. I don't want any guards out there." And I said, "Chief, I'm going to put up a bond in case we wreck your building." He said, "That's fine, Archie. And I'm putting up $5,000 on top of that, Bad News Allen. 5,000 big ones. And I'm going to make you this promise, and I've never made this in 19 years as a professional wrestler. I'm coming out after your hide, boy. And I'm going to get your hide. And you're going to pay for what you've done to my son. And I'm telling you right now, you're going to pay, and it's going to be out there in the Indian Reservation where we got lots of room. If we get out of that ring and break through them walls, there's about 500 acres of reservation out there, boy. And I'll rub your hide into that gravel road from one end of that reservation to the other. But I'm going to come out of there, and I might have to crawl back home. But if I do, I'll crawl back home, and I'll say, 'Son, I took care of business tonight out in the Sarcee Indian Reservation, because they wouldn't allow this fight in the city of Calgary. It's too brutal. It's too brutal for the city of Calgary. But those Indians out there, they're good people. They like fighting. They was brought up, they was raised up fighting like me. So tomorrow night, people, come on out there. The Sarcee Seven Chiefs Arena. First come, first served."
Let me tell you, people out there, it's unfortunate that last night you came down to the pavilion, 4,000 people standing out in minus 20 degrees weather to see a match between Archie the Stomper Goldie and the Ultimate Warrior, Bad News Allen. But let me tell you, people, something. You're fortunate, because from what I understand now, the Stomper has put up $5,000 to rent out the Sarcee Hall tonight. And he is desperate. With the $5,000, winner take all. And that's right up my line, right up my alley. I like matches like this, because that man insulted me in the ring, and I did him a favor by breaking his little son's neck and putting him out of wrestling, because he wasn't nothing but, he was no kind of wrestler anyway. And now he wants to take me on. And it's just unfortunate that Stu Hart did not have the guts enough to promote this match. But I tell you, people, one thing, you better get your tickets early, because there's just limited seating there, and there's limited space. And I tell you one thing, out there, I'm in tight with the Chiefs out there, and they told me I can do anything I want. I do not have to worry about this racist commission, which is a total farce, who go around and try, now they've suspended me again for the umpteenth time. They're putting all kinds of fines on me, but it doesn't matter. I don't care where I have to go. Archie the Stomper Goldie, I want you. I need you. I'm going to show the people. I want to show the people out there who is the number one man around here, who is the true warrior around here. You was a legend in your day, Archie, but you're not anymore. You're going down just like your son, because the people don't realize what happened. They saw me hit you. We was working as a team there last week, and they didn't understand. But you said, you made this racist remark to me, which I get so much of in this country here, in Canada, since I've been here. But I tell you one thing, you paid the price, but apparently it's obvious that I must have beat you too badly in the head, because now you're going to put up all the money that you have in the bank to try to meet me. But I tell you, it'll just be like Christmas. It'll be Christmas time come tonight, because I intend to take that $5,000, and I intend to take it out on your hide. And I intend to show you once and for all that nobody, nowhere, has a right to insult the ultimate warrior and get away with it. It's just unfortunate that we couldn't settle this issue last night, but tonight we'll settle it once and for all. So I'm telling you, beer belly sharecroppers out there, you better get your tickets and line up fast, because all my fans are coming. They got their tickets, and if you don't get in, that's your problem. I have nothing to do with it. But Archie the Stomper Goldie, you're going down. You're going down. You're going to feel what black power is. I'm going to bring all the power of Harlem down on you. I'm going to show you what it is to insult a man like me and think you can get away with it.
All right, back in your turn.
Tremendous. My turn. Well, I thought we would go a little bit because when you're talking about we're talking about these great promos, and what you really have to do is talk about the great promo men, right? And really, I mean, how do we do a show like this and not talk about a Miz promo? Right? So, no. I have two, but I've got to make honorable mention, I guess, to one, because we can't play it and have it do it justice. You can't, because it's more the visual, it's the video of it. But when that little black kid had to bounce the basketball 10 times for the $1 million man in order to get that money. And then he, you know, at 9 or whatever, and he kicks the basketball away from him. And he's like, oh, sorry, you didn't do it. You didn't do it, did you loser? Oh, that's too bad. Go back to your mom now, you loser.
That's awesome, yeah.
That was just tremendous. And I just said, without the visual of the basketball being kicked, it doesn't play well on audio. But I had to talk about it anyway there. One of the other ones, though, that is a little more recent, and again, we're very WWE here, but I'm going to stick with that, but I've got some other ones. What sold me on I believe it was the 2010 Survivor Series was where this is the one where John Cena was the referee to do this. And the final segment, the go-home segment, was Piper's Pit.
Oh, yeah.
And Roddy Piper gave one of the best promos that he's given in years. You know, don't spit in my face, John Cena. And just tremendous. And it was like Piper, obviously known for his promos, was known really in the 2000s as kind of getting a bit away from that and just not making much sense. And this was the best promo,
even in the 80s, he had a lot of promos that didn't make sense. And the guy was on a lot of stuff. But he was so charismatic, and he knew how to make sense. He's always known how to sell it when he has to. He's always known when it's time to cut an entertaining promo and when it's time to make money and the difference. He understands the psychology. And him coming out here and doing this, and I don't know how much of it was scripted for him or Cole's notes, it certainly felt like Roddy Piper. Felt like he took what they wanted to, and he put the psychology behind it. And Cena's good here, too, because he's playing off as somebody who's so great. The other guy's so great that it raised Cena's game. Because as a promo, though, it just proved to me how great these old guys are compared to the new guys. But in this segment, it doesn't overshadow Cena just because it makes Cena also it raised everybody. It made him seem better because he was around Piper.
Yeah, well, exactly. So
let's get to it.
Now, please welcome the Hot Rod, Rowdy Roddy Piper.
One of the most controversial men ever to step foot in a WWE ring. The legendary Roddy Piper. Of course, really made his mark, King, being part of the main event at the first ever WrestleMania. Part of the rock and wrestling era.
Oh, my gosh. There's so many memories.
The rivalries with Jimmy Superfly Snuka.
Look at Hogan. Hot Rod just standing there reflecting on some of the moments that he created here in the WWE. And many of them were on these Piper pits.
Holy cow. How cool are you? You know, let's make some history. Old school. Old school to me is not about nostalgia. Old school is not about a happy feeling time. It's about a time when you had to man up. It's about a time when you had to stand up to the plate. Like when Captain Lou was being honored with an award and I didn't like it. I smashed him in the face with a gold record. Jimmy Superfly Snuka. When Jimmy Snuka became a hot shot, I hit him in the head with a coconut.
Unforgettable.
It was a time, if you had a problem, you did something about it. And that's what I hope to accomplish tonight. So without further ado, let's get to that. My first guest in the pit tonight, give an old school welcome for a new school kid, Mr. John Cena.
Ladies and gentlemen, this is Monday Night Raw. WWE is going old school tonight live in Hershey, Pennsylvania. This is an historic Piper's pit with none other than John Cena as one of Mr. Piper's special guests.
Rowdy Roddy Piper reminding us what old school is all about. Look at that set. That is really the old school Piper fit. What a thrill this has to be for John Cena to be involved in this.
Very cool. Hang on, champ. Hang on. How you doing there, buddy? He's a big boy, huh? I got to tell you something. There's no... I'm a big fan of yours. I have been for a long time. You're a hell of a man. I got to tell you something, man. I have been competing over 30 years. And I've never been the WWE champion. And it does eat at me a little bit. Many, many other superstar Hall of Famer legends. Ted DiBiase, Ricky Steamboat, Jimmy Snuka, Mr. Perfect. Never, ever became the WWE champion. And if you're gonna do what I think you're gonna do, and you're gonna give that SOB
Wade Barrett, the WWE Championship, without him deserving it. And what you're doing is you're spitting in the face of all those legends that you say you respect. And I'm asking you, don't you spit in my face, John Cena. You've been a man ever since you've come. You've been a man from the very first day you walked in. Consequences be damned. Do the right thing. Do the right thing.
The right thing.
The right thing.
You know, for weeks I've had to hear free or fired. Free from Nexus or fired from the WWE. And at times, Hot Rod, I don't know what the right thing is. It's not that easy. No, listen. Just for one second. From the moment I got here, I have been working as hard as I can to do everything I can. So when guys like you look at where the WWE is today, they look at me and say, you know, that could have hit that kid, he could have hung with us. That's why I step in this ring every single day. You have no idea the amount of respect I got for you, for King, for every single one of the legends. And looking around here tonight, old school night, old school is a term, man. I looked up to you guys as a kid. You were my heroes. I've been thinking about this a lot, and I realize that after all the work I've done, if I hand over a championship, I'm free. Free from what? I won't be the guy that you look at and say, you know what? He's one of us. I'll be the guy that gave Wade Barrett the championship. That's it. All that hard work, out the door. You're damn right. So, everybody wants to know my decision. I'll let the cat out of the bag. If Randy Orton wins at Survivor Series, he earns it. If Wade Barrett wins at Survivor Series, he earns it. Because at Survivor Series, I'm aware of the consequences. I don't care anymore. I'm going to call the match down the middle.
Bingo! Now you're talking!
Well said. Well said, Cena. Bravo! Oh, I agree with you 100%. Just call it down the middle. I don't need your help at all. I think I've proved tonight that I can beat anybody on the Raw roster without your help. John, those were magnificent words, but that's the problem. They're just words. And you and I both know there is a reality in place here. There's a reality that you've got to face, and the reality is this. If I don't get my hand raised, if I don't win the WWE title, you are history. You're finished. No more WrestleMania moments, no more C Nation, none of that. It's all over for you. Shut up! If you, Wade Barrett, let John Cena give you that WWE Championship. At the end, look at me when I'm talking to you. At the end of the day, you may have the WWE Championship, but you won't be no champion. You'll just be a joke.
Okay, that's a great promo, and yeah, I mean, I'm going to talk about, I got three left. How many you got left?
Okay. I've got one, two, three, four, I have five, possibly eight. Because I keep remembering them as we go.
Well,
here.
I do too.
Is going to happen to me.
I do too. You start remembering them, but we'll probably do this another time. So we'll save a few of them. We'll see how long we want to go. Some of these are, like you say, some of these interviews are like 3 minutes, and some of them are, you know, 10 minutes or more.
Yeah.
I'm going to go to one that's a little bit longer again. DDP. Basically, this is the promo he talks about where now at this point. Goldberg is the world champion, and I'm a babyface, but you're a babyface. But I feel like I got to fight you, and it lays the groundwork for what comes a while down the road.
Right.
And I really believed in DDP here, and I thought this is just great, great delivery. And so I'm going to go to that one. If you remember it at all?
No, I don't. I presume he mentions Arthur.
It might be before that. All right, we're cutting to this promo now.
At this sea of fans here tonight, they are on their feet. And for good reason. Because my guest has got an appointment with Destiny on October the 25th at Halloween Havoc. Please welcome Diamond Dallas Page.
And I would venture to say, based on the attitude and the intensity of Goldberg, that he's going to see Goldberg pumped up as never before. Goldberg had had enough of the charade by Jericho that started, oh my, back at War Games on the 13th of this month. And he did something about it a few moments ago.
Pumped up, or in the words of Diamond Dallas Page, jacked up. Because you know that DDP is going to be ready for the opportunity of a lifetime at Halloween Havoc when he finally gets the world's heavyweight title shot that he deserves because he won War Games. He gets Goldberg in Las Vegas.
Here he is.
Well, they know each other, but I'm going to tell you something. Goldberg's going to see a new Diamond Dallas Page when he gets in the ring. A man more intensified than he's ever seen before.
All right, I said an appointment with Destiny. Indeed, this man does have one. The man we saw just moments ago on this very television program will be his opponent. The WCW Heavyweight Champion of the World, Goldberg. Now, DDP, what I've seen in sports here in the last week and a half between Sammy Sosa and Mark McGuire, I think somewhat is appropriate for the situation between you and Goldberg. You're the guy that brought him into this business. You've done a great deal for him. There's a lot of respect there, a lot of mutual admiration. But I don't have to tell you, this is going to be for the title. And all friendship aside, it's a payday in Las Vegas on October the 25th for either you or Mr. Goldberg.
Well, Gino, thanks for the analogy, but I see where you're going with the respect. Two guys who respect each other, but have an incredible competitive nature. Now, this isn't like I said last week, it's not like I'm getting in the ring with someone I really hate. It's not like I'm getting in there with Randy Savage or Hollywood Scum. That's a whole nother edge. Sosa, McGuire, I can see where you might see some similarities. Those two guys took each other to a whole nother level. And when I think about getting in the ring at the MGM Grand in Las Vegas, Nevada at Halloween Havoc with Goldberg, the undisputed heavyweight champion of the world, it takes me to another level. I get jacked to the moon! But I'm not the only one coming for the title. A lot of this going on lately. You got the Four Horsemen back, and it looks like they're going to be around for a while. At least it did before the show started. Then there's the Red and Black NWO, and they say they're forever. They want it. You got the Black and White NWO, and they say they're around forever. life. And then you got me. I'm black and blue. I'm DDP. And at Halloween Havoc, I'm going to be for real. Bam!
That pretty much sets it up. Just a few weeks away from Las Vegas Live on
pay-per-view. All right. No, that was good. I'd said I'm going to have to listen to when we do the run back here, right, because we're going to insert these after. So as of this, I still haven't heard it yet. But or maybe I have heard it and I just don't remember which one you're fucking talking about, too. So let's go. I've got another one here. I've got four that we really have to do here, because again, these are four guys that really deserve to be mentioned on this. But we'll go a little lighter on this one. When we talk about The Rock, and one of my favorite promos of all time was at the King of the Ring 2003. And this isn't even the one that I wrote down. This is the thing that I'm just doing this now because it. When you had Goldust.
I thought this was one that might be too visual, but you know what? No, we're going to play it. This is great. Goldust, it is funny.
Booker T and The Rock. And just, you know, Rock's just coming back. Austin took his ball, went home, as the story goes. I think it's 2002. Took his stool ball and home, so we come back. The whole thing is, you know, get the F out. Booker and Goldust are fighting against the NWO, and it's just, yeah. So this is a tremendous promo. If I can add an honorable mention, because we're talking about The Rock, and that's really what I said. The other promo, and maybe we'll put them back to back, because neither one of these are very long, okay. Is the night after, or just shortly after the King of the Ring 1999.
Hi, God. My name is Billy. I just won King of the Ring. The only problem is everybody still thinks
that I absolutely suck.
Yes.
I will never forget that as long as I live. I have a friend named Billy, and I say that to him still, like, every once in a while. So it's just, yeah, that to me is the honorable mention. So I don't know if we get to both of them. I said they're not very long back-to-back here. But why don't we listen to the words of the great one.
The catchphrase that I like more than anything is the "it doesn't matter."
Finally, The Rock has come back to Indianapolis!
Well, it was that one night in Indianapolis that The Rock went out there and said he had a little talk with God, so to speak, or he spoke of Billy's talk with God.
The Rock understands what took place. The night you won King of the Ring, you got down on your knees, put your little hands together, and you said a prayer, and it sounded like this. Oh, dear God. You see, my name's Billy, and I just won King of the Ring, but there's one problem. Everybody still thinks that I absolutely suck. And then at that point, Billy, your house started to shake, the heavens opened up, and God himself spoke to you and said this. Bob?
But my name's Billy.
It doesn't matter what your name is.
You know it's coming. Every single time you know it's coming. But it's still funny when it happens.
How you doing? It doesn't matter how you're doing. What is your name?
I told you!
It doesn't matter what your name is!
First of all, Michael Cole, what do you think about wearing The Rock's brand new electrifying t-shirt?
It doesn't matter what you think!
What's your name? Mark.
It doesn't matter what your name is! One! Two!
There's two now!
It doesn't matter if The Rock comes to three!
What was that old lady's name again?
It doesn't matter what her name was! Well, The Rock just wants to know exactly who it is you had in mind for his opponents.
I tell you, Rock,
it doesn't matter who you had in mind. No. Who are you two, Rudy Poos?
You don't even know the other one?
Oh, he knows it. A little head game going on here.
You
should know by now that we are the... It doesn't matter!
But I think my best memory of anything The Rock has done outside the ring was the night in Pittsburgh when the police officers were doing the investigation into who hit Stone Cold Steve Austin with the car.
What is your name? It doesn't matter what your name is. The Rock says this. Right now, as The Rock speaks, there are literally millions of Rock's fans, and if you all just know your role, shut your mouth. You, and especially you, in 4 seconds, they will all chant The Rock's name. Now, seeing as you jabronis really want to find out who is driving The Rock's stolen car, well, The Rock has one question for you. Write this down. Do you like donuts?
Sure, we like donuts.
What's your favorite donut?
Jelly.
Oh, you like jelly. Well, jelly's a good one. The Rock says this. Write this down. When you leave here, go down to Dunkin' Donuts. Get the biggest jelly donut you can find.
Oh, no. That's a cop.
Write it down. Hold that jelly donut up. Squeeze all the jelly out. Squeeze all the jelly. Write it down. You like writing things down. Squeeze all the jelly out. And then write this down. You don't want to forget this. Turn that some bitch sideways and stick it straight up your candy ass.
I could not stop myself from laughing during the interview. If you go back and look at the tapes of that interview, you'll see me in the background laughing hysterically because I knew it was coming and these poor guys had no idea what they were getting into. And it was priceless.
Finally, The Rock has come back to King of the Ring.
Oh, you The Rock now, huh?
It doesn't matter, Booker, that The Rock say this. He knows that you and him aren't friends. But that's okay, because you have a friend. He is...
Goldust.
The Rock knows that Booker T likes Goldust very much. The Rock also knows that Goldust likes Booker T very much. Well, then...
First of all, it goes like this.
Finally, The Rock has come back to Columbus.
Trying to talk like The Rock, walk like The Rock, sound like The Rock? Well, make no mistake about it. There ain't no way, no way you could ever be the jabroni beaten, loud pie eaten, trailblazing, eyebrow raising, all around, smack it down, people's champ, The Rock. Hey, man, you ain't got to worry about him. What you need to concern yourself with is jumping into the grill of the check cashing, sucker trashing, never looting, spin a rooting, slamming, jamming, 5-time WCW champion, Booker T.
Well, what about me? The gold wearing, sometimes oh so daring. But I'm not very good at this.
Look, man, we ain't never seen eye to eye on nothing. Probably never will. But last week on Raw, man, you got down for your crown, dog. I'm down with that.
Are you down with that, huh?
Yeah.
Well, I appreciate you down with that, because I meant it. Anybody who don't want to be with this company, they could get the F out.
I agree. I do. So down with it. Oh, you too. So down with it. What's wrong with you? Stop doing that. Take my shirt off. Damn. Leave it on. You pay for that?
Yeah.
Good. Look, the fact of the matter is this. We ain't never seen eye to eye. Fine, no problem. We never will. We ain't never gonna see eye to eye. But the fact of the matter is this. The Rock is here for one reason, and that's to watch the WWE Undisputed Championship match. That's it. Undisputed Championship match. A championship that is much bigger than the People's Elbow.
Oh, yes.
A championship that is much bigger than the Spin-A-Rooney. Much bigger than the Spin-A-Rooney. And a championship that is much bigger than the... Than... What do you do? What? Can't say what? What do you do? You got to finish a move?
Oh, I have more ammunition in my cannon than you'll ever realize.
What the hell's the matter with you? Stop that. Stop rubbing yourself, man. You are. Stop that. Nobody wants to hear about your cannon, ammunition in nobody's cannon, especially yours. You sick freak. Stop it. Even though we don't see eye to eye, we see eye to eye on something. When the time is right, you guys need to do your thing and lay it the smack it down on the NWO's candy punk asses. If you smell. Stop that. Okay. Stop trying to talk like The Rock, walk like The Rock. Stop wearing The Rock's t-shirt, putting a little eyebrow on, painting your hair. Stop touching yourself. Stop all that. Stop it. This is the way it goes. If you smell what The Rock is cooking.
Yeah, I think that was a great choice, lighting it up a little bit, because those are funny as hell.
Yeah.
Those are awesome. Yeah. All right, I'm going to go to one here that's a little more serious. Go a little old school again. Nick Bockwinkel. Nick Bockwinkel was one of those guys you don't think of as the great promo, but he really was. There's such great psychology. I know you do, but I think... not enough people do. There's great psychology behind this here. This is a build-up to a match with Nick Bockwinkel and Jerry Lawler. And of course, Jerry Lawler is known for throwing one of the greatest punches in the history of the business, arguably the greatest. And so the psychology here is Nick Bockwinkel, the wrestler, the heel, doesn't want to face the baby face who's going to punch him. You know, so he wants to put in a caveat that there's going to be $500 per punch that Lawler uses. And this is one awesome, awesome promo.
Nice.
Hour right now since the end of a World Heavyweight Championship match. And I think a lot of the fans have seen all of the excitement that takes place in a great championship match. They wonder, how long does it really take to unwind after the pounding and the beating, the excitement and all the things that come out? We're sitting here in the dressing room with Nick Bockwinkel. He is one of the very few people still in the Mid-South Coliseum. It has been over an hour since the bout in which you defended the title against Jerry the King Lawler, Nick.
A lot of people ask, they want to know, how long does it take you to unwind? And in actuality, the pain of the pounding that I had to take still hasn't set in. Your adrenaline's still running too high. About 3 hours, usually. About the time you're getting ready to fall asleep. And then, of course, the real hell comes when you wake up the next morning. A lot of people wonder what goes on right after a championship match. And I'm going to tell you, because as it has gone on many times in the past, it's exactly what has happened tonight. In this past hour, I have been informed, if you want to use the expression by my friends, associates, or stooges, that the phone of Stanley Blackburn, who is a man who I seem to have a terrible time to reach when I try to reach him, with problems I have, with things that need decisions made by the championship committee, but it has already filtered back to me that because of the outcome of tonight's match, because I accidentally struck a referee, that, needless to say, you're a promoter, and, of course, Stanley Blackburn wanting to treat all of you nice humanoids properly,
is talking about a rematch. Let's not kid each other. It's coming down the wire. They're pushing for it. There are those Lawler backers on the championship committee who want to see him the world's heavyweight champion. And I know this. Now, I'm going to propose something because I know the way the politics of my sport and my business works. I could put it off. I could put it off with all sorts of cute little things, not answering my phone, leaving the one city, going to the next, just avoiding people. It would take weeks before paperwork could be signed, and we could play all sorts of technical games. You know how the bureaucracy is. But it's going to come down. Now, somebody asked, how do you feel? Well, the pain in my jaw, the pain in my head is really bad. I can feel it. I'm still functioning. But tomorrow morning, I'll probably be having soup for the next 2 or 3 days because I doubt if I'm going to be able to chew anything. And for one simple, pathetic reason, this great man, Jerry Lawler, who they think has the ability and the talent to be a world's heavyweight champion wrestler, I think everybody's missing the point. The name on the marquee is wrestling. On the world's heavyweight championship belt, it says wrestling. Now, in the first 15 minutes of this match that took place tonight, Lawler never saw daylight because I dominated it with wrestling. I used a forearm. I took, and a little later, used some more forearms. But no, not Mr. Lawler. All Mr. Lawler knows how to do good, and I'm going to tell you this right now, and you know it, and I'm sure you'll agree. Man throws a hell of a punch. When I start sucking soup through a straw for the next 3 days, that'll be my testament to it. Only because I'm still hot and the adrenaline's still flowing through my bones and my body, is the jaw working. I doubt if it'll work tomorrow morning, because that's when the cold and the agony and the pain will really set in. Now, Lawler, if you couldn't punch, what would you do? I really want to know. And I'll tell you what, I just perked the curiosity of all your cretinous humanoids sitting out there. They would want to know, what would you do? Now, I'm going to make it easy for Stanley Blackburn and your promoter. I'm going to take and bring this match. I'm going to move it up quick. If Monday night is open, it is for me, and you can put it together in the Coliseum, I want $500 a punch. Did you catch that?
Lawler to pay you, and you to pay Lawler?
No. I'm making it easy by giving him a chance at the heavyweight championship again, because I know they're going to try and shove it down my throat eventually anyway. So to entice it, to maybe bring it back a little quicker, make it happen a little quicker, rather than 3 or 4 or 5 months down the line, if you are willing to agree to $500 a punch, because you see, Lawler, you probably got a very nice streak in your body, and you don't want to give up $500 a punch, not the way you throw them. And the point really comes down to this. You don't want to give up that much money, and if you can't throw a punch, you know what you can't do? You can't beat me, because you cannot wrestle, and I can. That's why I'm the world's heavyweight champion, and that's why you're a contender. So there it is. The option is yours, Lawler. Put it in your pipe, smoke it. And before this show is over with today, let's see what your answer is.
Well, it didn't take the king long. We'll be talking to him about that a little bit later on. Right now, we'll take time out. We'll be back in just a moment.
Sweet. No, and that will be good. I can't wait to listen to it myself, listen back to this. The next one that I've got is more of a famous promo, but I guess if some of our younger fans haven't or younger listeners, I don't know if fans is the right word, younger listeners haven't.
I have fans, you have listeners.
Younger fans and younger listeners.
You know what, if you're a younger anything and anybody's letting you listen to our show, which says explicit,
they're fucking nuts. But I think that the Dusty Rhodes Hard Times promo,
yeah,
you know, is just a classic promo where he's dichotomizing the limousine riding, jet flying, kiss stealing, wheeling dealing son of a gun Ric Flair, and he's the common man where there's been a lot of hard times, baby. The auto workers are out of job. That's hard times, right? So they give you a watch for your user service, baby, and they kick you to the curb. That's hard times. So that,
this is
that
unbelievable. I think he might be the best talker of all time. I really do, Dusty. Yeah. This is a great, great promo. The only reason I didn't put this promo in there is because I just had so much trouble picking the best Dusty promo. But this is just great stuff.
I think it's just it sort of encapsulates the common man, right? The only other one that I would have picked for Dusty outside of the Hard Times promo is the promo he cut to debut the Americana Butcher Shop. Because you can beat their prices, but you sure can't beat their meat.
All right, we're going to put both of those in there then. We're going to keep going. You're right.
Nice.
We're going to – yeah, I just came up with another two myself. Keep going. We're going to keep going.
Okay, well then let's put those two in and
go from there.
Yeah.
Ladies and gentlemen, you all know that Dusty Rhodes has been injured. Well, we want to welcome back tonight Dusty Rhodes for his first interview since his injury. Here is the American Dream, Dusty Rhodes. And Dusty, your fans welcome you back, man.
First of all, I would like to thank the many, many fans throughout this country that wrote cards and letters to Dusty Rhodes, the American Dream, while I was down. Secondly, I want to thank Jim Crockett Promotions for waiting and taking the time because I know how important it was. Starrcade 85, it is to the resident fans, it is to Jim Crockett Promotions. And Dusty Rhodes, the American Dream, with that weight, got what I wanted. Ric Flair, the world's heavyweight champion. I don't have to say a lot more about the way I feel about Ric Flair. No respect, no honor. There is no honor among thieves in the first place. He put hard times on Dusty Rhodes and his family. You don't know what hard times are, Daddy. Hard times are when the textile workers around this country are out of work. They got four or five kids and can't pay their wages, can't buy their food. Hard times are when the auto workers are out of work and they tell them go home. And hard times are when a man has worked at a job 30 years. 30 years. They give him a watch, kick him in the butt, and say, hey, a computer took your place, Daddy. That's hard time. That's hard time. And Ric Flair, you put hard times on this country by taking Dusty Rhodes out. That's hard time. And we all had hard times together. I admit I don't look like the athlete of the day supposed to look. My belly's just a little big. My hand is just a little big. But brother, I am bad and they know I'm bad. And there were two bad people. One was John Wayne and he's dead, brother. And the other one's right here. Nature Boy Ric Flair. The world's heavyweight title belongs to these people. I'm going to reach out right now. I want you at home to know my hand is touching your hand for this gathering of the biggest body of people in this country, in this universe, all over the world now. Reach it out because the love that was given me and this time, I will repay you now because I will be the next world's heavyweight champion on this Hard Time Blues Dusty Rhodes Tour 85. And Ric Flair, Nature Boy, let me leave you with this. One way to hurt Ric Flair is to take what he cherishes more than anything in the world. That's the world's heavyweight title. I'm going to take it. I've been there twice. This time when I take it, Daddy, I'm going to take it for you. Let's gather for it. Don't let me down now, because I came back for you, for that man up there that died 10, 12 years ago and never got the opportunity to see a real world champion. I'm proud of you and thank God I have you. And I love you. Love you!
The American Dream, Dusty Rhodes fans.
It's going to be a nice piece. Yeah. All right. Welcome to Americana Butcher Shop. We don't sell no soda pop, but if you're looking for good beef, this is the place to stop. Ernest, come on over here. We're going to take you in the treasure chest of beef right here and show you what it's all about here at Americana. Come on in here now, Ernest. Oh, man, look at that nice piece of veal hanging up there. Ernest, tell him folk about this veal right here.
Nice. Oh, leg of veal.
Fine leg of veal. And what is this two-legged creature right here? We know
that's
what that is.
Nice leg of lamb.
Leg of lamb. I love leg of lamb. What we got right here, them old rump roasts and everything.
That's a nice rump roast.
Ooh, and we know what this is right
here. The bologna.
This is bologna, and we are full of it today. Yeah, come on over here. We're going to make some Americana right here, ground up beef. Look here. Stick it right in there. Get that thing working down in there. Now look down on the other end here, and you will see some of the finest Americana ground beef in the country right there. Woo-wee! That looks so good. Let me tell you something now. I'm going to tell you one time, you cannot beat my prices. But you sure can't beat my meat.
Hey, aren't you?
All right, I'm going to come back here. We had Ric Flair. Of course, Ric Flair was... Or, sorry, we had Dusty Rose, but you can't have Dusty Rose not have a Ric Flair promo. So here's right. Here's an excellent Ric Flair promo that people kind of forgot.
Ric Flair promo?
Ric Flair did. Am I breaking up again?
No, you were just sounded kind of marble mouth there.
Well, I'm that, too. But yeah, I you're podcast not a for a living. Well, not a living.
You're not a great promo.
No, I'm not. But Ric Flair is. Here's a Ric Flair on Thunder. The night after he won his 15th world title from Jeff Jarrett,
right
on Monday Night Raw, this really what this
Monday Nitro
or Monday Nitro. Sorry, see, I'm not a great promo.
It's pretty much the same thing now.
Pretty much. So he wins his 15th world title on Nitro, comes out on Thunder and cuts a great promo a little bit on Jarrett, and then Jarrett shows up at the end, but. This is really on him, on Vince Russo, talking about how Vince Russo, how he didn't want to be Bruno Sammartino or Hulk Hogan, how he wanted to be Ric Flair. This is
so we're gonna,
great stuff.
And we're going to cut it off before Jeff Jarrett arrives, right?
Jeff Jarrett doesn't really talk. Just a little.
Oh, okay. Okay.
A reminder, a special time for WCW Monday Nitro this coming Monday. 1 hour earlier, 7 to 9 p.m., we'll be live from the Grand Angle Arena in Grand Rapids, Michigan.
And after tonight, who knows what's going to happen next Monday night and Wednesday night.
The sign says it all. 15 times he's been to the top of the mountain. The world's heavyweight champion. The Nature Boy's got the belt.
Again.
The Nature Boy makes his way towards the ring area. What a night he had on Monday Nitro this past Monday. It was a night of obvious mixed emotions. From the disturbing video he had to witness when Russo and his own son broke into his house, to the moment of glory when he became the world champion for the 15th time. And remember what he said, and this is even before he won the world title, that he would walk away from the sport if he did not defeat his son for the Great American Bash. Jeff Jarrett came out with the guitar, wiped out Ric Flair. But Ric Flair came back later on tonight with the inside cradle to become the world heavyweight champion. Obviously, Russo and his crew had their day, but not before Ric Flair became the world champion for the 15th time. And Flair as champion is driving the new blood absolutely crazy.
Nature Boy, the heavyweight champion of the world.
Wow, what a moment.
Listen to the chant. 15 times.
15 times.
Not a person in their seat here at the Cajun Dome. Oh, this is a Thunder moment to remember.
Thank you. Thank you. Let me just recognize a few things. First of all, I never dreamt that this would ever happen again. And I was damn lucky that it happened to me. I beat a great champion. Jeff Jarrett, you don't know it right now, you're a little confused, but you have been the world champion on multiple occasions. You are a great wrestler, and I got lucky, but I still got the belt. Jarrett, you come from the old school. You don't like to admit it, but you come from the old school. And I respect that, and I respect you. But as of right now, Jarrett, you ain't got the world title. Woo! The Nature Boy does.
Oh, yeah.
I wonder what Russo is thinking right now.
And what I gotta do is get my home life put back together. Because I've got a son that's just like you, Jarrett, that's confused and mind-boggled. He's overwhelmed by the one and only Vince Russo. Now, let me give you...
Brainwashed.
Before I get into it, David, I want to give the world my take on Vince Russo. And this is not a crack on the Italians. This is my take. You see, Russo, the way I see it, you were a skinny little Italian kid growing up in the Bronx. In New York. And your papa said, like every young man in New York, you want to be like Bruno Sammartino, the champion of the WWF.
Wow.
And you said, oh, Papa, I admire Bruno. He's a great man, a great role model, but he's a little bit too slow. I want to be a little slicker. He said, your papa said, oh, no, Vinny, you got to grow up. You got to be like Bruno. He's the man. And you said, oh, Papa, please. Please, I want something else in life. So I figured your dad had a little more money than the rest of the guys in the neighborhood. He bought you the cable out of Atlanta, Georgia, PBS. And one day, your daddy heard you going, Papa, daddy, mama, come see. Your daddy ran in the room, horrified. He said, no, turn that off. You said, Papa, I want to be just like him. Woo!
Oh, yeah.
Your mama went, oh, no. Vinny, this is a good Catholic family. You can't be like the Nature Boy. You can't style and profile. Your papa said to Vinny, you can't be like a Nature Boy. You got no muscles. You got no girlfriends. You got no long limousine. You can't be like the Nature Boy.
He's making it personal.
Oh, you ain't kidding. It's been personal.
And he knows
oh,
it.
Oh, Papa, please, Daddy, let me be like Ric Flair. No, you be this way. Oh, no, Daddy. I'm going to be like him someday. So now it's all rolled around. You're a big, skinny, little punk with no muscles, with a book, a checkbook, and you think you got the power to make people's lives come and go. You're wrong. You couldn't control me. You couldn't be like me. You couldn't be like Sting. You couldn't control Luger. You couldn't, for God, you could never be Hulk Hogan. So what do? You come in the back door. You write the big checks. You make yourself bigger than life. In reality, you're just a kid that wanted to be like the Nature Boy. Woo! Am I saying that right? Is that right? You wanted to be a kiss-stealing, wheelie-dealing, limousine-ride, jet-flying son of a gun that kissed all the girls in the neighborhood and made him cry. Instead, you were a skinny little boy with no muscles. You got no girls. You ain't got them now. You haven't got me, Hogan, Luger, Sting, nobody. And as of Monday night, brother, look at this, Jack. Woo! You ain't got the world title. It belongs to the old generation. This is Luger, Sting, Hogan, Flair, and every other guy you've dared to call. This is tradition. I got lucky, but I got the belt.
Yes, he does.
It's back home.
Brother, in this sport, having this is all there is. You know it, and I know it. Now, let me tell you this. The way I see it, you're not able to have me, not able to have the other great ones. So you've grabbed my son, and you are trying to live your life vicariously through my son. It ain't gonna happen.
Oh, wait a minute. I wondered how long this would go unanswered. Russo is not here, but you can better believe the chosen one is going to do the talking for him.
I have heard enough of this outlandish vaudeville crap. You are a notorious deadbeat dad. You've got my stolen property, and I'm fixing to step into this ring and pull it out.
Try to tell everybody you...
Hold on, Jeff Jarrett, come to the ring. This fight is bitterly personal. It's gone beyond the ring. It's gone beyond wannabe. It's gone to the families. And hold on, Holy Crowbar is coming.
And David Flair.
His own son has come in to triple team his father.
This is a tragedy. Some people are going to say this is horrible to see.
Three men on one. What is it? Arne Anderson.
He's got a pipe.
Put the lead pipe and now they scatter.
They better.
Like cockroaches.
Stepped up to the plate to support his closest friend, the Nature Boy Ric Flair.
Excellent. All right. Well, another just to stow off. It's nice we've been stowing off the WWE path, which I thought at when we started to get into this that we were going to be sort of all WWF here. But
did you hear that?
No.
Okay. Good. That was me screwing up. I accidentally hit play on that YouTube video.
Nice.
Watch it right after. So go ahead.
Woo. Steve Austin. Of course, we know about the promos that Steve Austin has cut. A lesser known one, I think, and one of my favorites is his serious ECW promo. He come in as a Steve-a-maniac, and then he come in as being Bischoff. But then there's another one where he just sits in front of the camera and just talks about his career. And talks about how, I wanted to do this, and no, baby, that's for someone else. And I wanted to do this, and no, and this, and it just tremendous. Like, it wasn't, it was before he cut his hair, so he still had the long hair, but it was just how he was pissed off and he wasn't going to take it anymore. And just what brought him to ECW was tremendous.
You know, a couple of weeks ago, when Eric Bischoff told his secretary to tell her secretary to leave a message on my answering machine for me to call Eric Bischoff. And then I called Eric Bischoff, and he proceeded to fire me over the phone. I thought a big cloud was lifted off the career of Steve Austin. Because gone were the days where I'd go up to someone and say, "Hey, what about me and Sting? We got this big thing going. How about the cage?" And someone says, "No, baby, that's for somebody else. We're just going to keep you right where you're at right now." Well, then I said, "Well, how about me and Savage, man? I got this great idea, man. He comes in, he's got the Slim Jim deal. Well, hell, I got..." "No, Steve, that's for somebody else, baby." "Then you go, I've got this great idea. I can do it with Hulk Hogan. I'm going to be the Steve-O-Maniac, and we're going to take this thing all the way, because Hulk Hogan, Hulkamania, was the biggest thing to ever come down to wrestling's pike." And they say, "No, that's not for you, brother. You can't do that. We're going to keep you right where you are."
I said, how about me and Brian get back together? The Hollywood Blondes, it was the best tag team to come along in 10 years. And they say, no, Steve, we need you in a singles role, man. We need you to do this. We're going to put the U.S. title on you, and then we're going to take you here, and then you're the number one contender, so then you get this world title shot. Well, all that never happened. So there I am, floundering along. There's nothing going my way because the politics in WCW kept the biggest potential superstar in wrestling on the damn ground. What are you supposed to do? On one hand, they're paying you a bunch of money. They're paying me a bunch of money. Well, on this hand, they're telling me, hey, go out there and give Bagwell a hell of a match. Go out there with an 18-year-old German kid. Give him 7 good minutes. Let people see what he can do. They say you are what you eat. In WCW, they didn't feed me nothing but garbage. So I let myself become garbage. I became complacent with everything that they said. As long as Big Ted kept sending in the checks, maybe I wasn't happy with what was going on, but I became complacent. Then they send me to Japan, the big injury. Bischoff delivers a shot heard around the damn world. Steve Austin's out of the high-paying job. All of a sudden, the phone starts ringing off the hook. It's ECW. It's the WWE. It's All Japan, it's New Japan, and all Steve Austin's got to do is make a decision. Todd Gordon, whether he mortgaged his house one time, two times, maybe three times, came up with the right figure for Steve Austin to make a decision. I strolled into the ECW arena. It's the biggest piece of crap I've ever seen. I broke in a building called the Sportatorium in Dallas, Texas, home of the world-famous Von Erichs. Anybody that was anybody stepped foot in a Dallas Sportatorium. For the last 2 years, all you've heard about anywhere in wrestling is the famous ECW arena. Debut night, I roll in. You've got the Sandman. You've got the Raven. You got the Pit Bulls. You got Stevie Richards. You got the Public Enemy. You got the Gangsters. You got Mikey Whitrep, whatever the hell his name is. You got a bunch of damn misfits running around thinking that they can actually wrestle. All I've seen in ECW is a bunch of violent crap. And that's exactly what I'll call it because that's what it is. Steve Austin is here to wrestle. It's what I do best. It's what I do better than anybody in the world. Dean Malenko, Eddie Guerrero, they got the big send-off. Tears were in everybody's eyes. It was a big deal. All Steve Austin got was a good swift kick in the ass as Bischoff hung up the phone and left me high and dry. There's no Hogan's here. There's no Flair's here. There's not a Dusty Rhodes. And there damn sure isn't an Eric Bischoff here. There's no one they can hold back Steve Austin now. Stunning, tossed it out the window. Never was meant to be. ECW is going to find out firsthand what Steve Austin can do. And I'm going to show everybody here exactly what a true superstar is supposed to do. What a true superstar is supposed to be. Because no one here can hold me back.
Not Todd Gordon. Not Hulk Hogan. Not Eric Bischoff. Nobody. I'm going to be the superstar that I always knew that I could be, because there's no one in ECW that can stop me.
Bang! That was awesome! Oh my God!
Yeah, that's a great promo. I've watched that promo myself many, many times. So yeah. That was a good choice to throw in there. I'm going to come back here to my next one. And since you did an ECW one, I'm going to do an ECW one. Of course, everybody knows the Kane Dewey promo. And that is
right. That
is great. But Cactus Jack talking about his Uncle Willie, which is funny because your dog's name?
Yes, Willie. Uncle Willie.
Yeah. But, Cactus Jack talking about his Uncle Willie and talking about Terry Funk. And this is coming right back off of the him and ECW right after the Texas death match or whatever you call it, the death match that he had in Japan, I think, or he had somewhere with Terry Funk where fire got in there and it got a little bit out of control. And there was some burns and everything like that. So anyways, this promo, this is one I remember being a great promo. I'm sure it's a great promo. I'm going to put it in there because Mick Foley is going to be a great promo. Even I haven't heard this in a long, long time, though. So I'll be listening back, too.
Excellent.
Satellite to New York and coming from Cactus Jack.
Well, I guess the last you left Cactus Jack, you described it as a catatonic state. And certainly there's been a lot of questions for my actions. And I understand, because you never met Uncle Willie. And at this point, Tommy Dreamer, I can sense you looking at my arm. Wonder what happened to Cactus Jack. And yes, there's been rumors circulating around. And well, Tommy, this is what happened to Cactus Jack. This is what happened, and this is the result. But it's really not that big a deal, because the doctors have assured me that on second-degree burns, there will be some discoloration for some time, but really no permanent scarring. Which is more than I can say for my opponent, Terry Funk, who weaseled his way out in an ambulance, screaming and crying like a little baby with his third-degree burns. And the irony did not escape me that the man who stepped into the ECW arena with a branding iron and sizzled his name on my chest is the one who walked away with the permanent scars. And that one match signified to me that I was in Japan the king of the death match, which I guess in ECW would make me the king of the hardcore. Because my Uncle Willie knew all about Japan. You see, Tommy Dreamer, you never met my Uncle Willie. Neither did I, because he's been dead for 50 years. But I always felt like I knew him because there was a big picture of my Uncle Willie at 18 years old, ready to save the world, hanging up in the hallway of my home in Isetaket. And every day I'd see my dad almost get down and genuflect in front of that picture, almost like you used to do in front of my picture, Tommy Dreamer. Because Uncle Willie was a hero. You see, Uncle Willie was on the boat that brought the bomb over to Japan to save the day for the good guys. Now, what happened to that boat after it delivered the bomb is a well-known story, and although they never saw or found Uncle Willie's body, we've all got a pretty good idea of what happened. But we rest assured that my Uncle Willie died a hero. That is, until I made my way to Japan, to Hiroshima, and saw, generations later, walking in the Peace Park, the pictures of people with flesh burning down their arms, the flesh hanging off their bones. Let's hear it for the bombing of innocent children. USA! USA! Let's hear it for the bombing of helpless women! Willie! Willie! You see, all my life I saw people whose idea of suffering was to kick back on that last six-pack until the next welfare check came in. And they say we bombed those sniff bastards. They were human beings, you sons of bitches. And you killed them. But I went back to my dad and I said, Dad, I hope that Uncle Willie died a painful death. I hope they ate him good. I hope they swallowed his spine if he even had one. That baby killer! For the first time since the infamous 1968 Parsonage Road spanking, my dad hit me. And he said, take a look at yourself, son. Take a look at the scars. Take a look at the burns. And take a look at the missing body parts and find out that the same thing that makes those Japanese wrestlers so tough is the same reason that we had to sacrifice 130,000 human lives. Because they keep going and going and going. And the only way to save millions of more lives was by a show of force. And I said, Dad, by whose authority do you believe in the following words you just spoke? And he said, the government of the United States. The government of the United States. And I believed his words. And I looked at that dollar bill and saw that the father of our country was a slave-holding, wig-wearing, wooden-tooth-wearing bastard. And so it's very simple, Tommy Dreamer. If we can sacrifice 130,000 human lives in the goal of a higher purpose, then really the DDT of your head on the mat is pretty damn insignificant news. And if you can trust the government that mutilates babies, then I ought to get the benefit of the doubt. Because I and Raven have a higher purpose. And that thought brings me peace.
Well, that's perfect because that was one of my one on my list. Not necessarily that promo was just I just wrote down Mick Foley anti-hardcore. Like anything that Mick Foley really did in ECW, you could pick probably a half a dozen that were just tremendous promos that he did. So Uncle Willie is definitely up there, right? So that's one of them. So it's great. The last one that I've got on my list is one that we talk about quite frequently. It happened a year ago, right? I don't think we could do a best promos without it, really. Was the CM Punk promo, and it was for so many reasons. Showing that a buzz can still be created in wrestling. I would say now it shows that a buzz can still be created, and it also shows unequivocally how unprepared WWE is to handle these buzzes.
That's true. That's very true. Very good point.
This, to me, encapsulates where last year, if we had done this last year, it would have encapsulated to me a possible resurgence in wrestling, where now what it encapsulates is the fact that Vince McMahon is no longer able to capture that lightning in a bottle.
That's true. That's,
the lightning just shatters the glass.
That's true.
And he can't, and that's what it is.
They don't know how to take what's given to them anymore and make use of it. So.
No. Something this great, right? Yeah, so that's true. So let's have a listen.
There's really no business out here other than the fact that we don't care what he does right now, I don't think. Oh, hope he's just leaving, but I'm afraid we're going to hear more from Punk. John Cena speared.
John Cena, while you lay there, hopefully as uncomfortable as you possibly can be, I want you to listen to me. I want you to digest this, because before I leave in 3 weeks with your WWE Championship, I have a lot of things I want to get off my chest. I don't hate you, John. I don't even dislike you. I do like you. I like you a hell of a lot more than I like most people in the back. I hate this idea that you're the best. Because you're not. I'm the best. I'm the best in the world. There's one thing you're better at than I am, and that's kissing Vince McMahon's ass. You're as good as kissing Vince's ass as Hulk Hogan was. I don't know if you're as good as Dwayne, though. He's a pretty good ass kisser. Always was and still is. Oops, I'm breaking the fourth wall. I am the best wrestler in the world. I've been the best ever since day one when I walked into this company, and I've been vilified and hated since that day because Paul Heyman saw something in me that nobody else wanted to admit. That's right, I'm a Paul Heyman guy. You know who else was a Paul Heyman guy? Brock Lesnar. And he split just like I'm splitting, but the biggest difference between me and Brock is I'm going to leave with the WWE Championship. I've grabbed so many of Vincent K. McMahon's imaginary brass rings that it's finally dawned on me that they're just that. They're completely imaginary. The only thing that's real is me, and the fact that day in and day out for almost 6 years I have proved to everybody in the world that I am the best on this microphone, in that ring, even at commentary. Nobody can touch me. And yet, no matter how many times I prove it, I'm not on your lovely little collector cups. I'm not on the cover of the program. I'm barely promoted. I don't get to be in movies. I'm certainly not on any crappy show on the USA Network. I'm not on the poster of WrestleMania. I'm not in the signature that's produced at the start of the show. I'm not on Conan O'Brien, I'm not on Jimmy Fallon, but the fact of the matter is I should be. And trust me, this isn't sour grapes, but the fact that Dwayne is in the main event of WrestleMania next year and I'm not makes me sick. Oh, hey, let me get something straight. Those of you who are cheering me right now, you are just the biggest part of me leaving as anything else. Because you're the ones that are sipping out of those collector cups right now. You're the ones that buy those programs that my face isn't on the cover of. And then at 5 a.m. at the airport, you try to shove it in my face so you can get an autograph and try to sell it on eBay because you're too lazy to go get a real job. I'm leaving with the WWE Championship on July 17th, and who knows, maybe I'll go defend it in New Japan Pro Wrestling. Maybe I'll go back to Ring of Honor. Hey, Colt Cabana, how you doing? The reason I'm leaving is you people, because after I'm gone, you're still going to pour money into this company. I'm just a spoke on the wheel. The wheel's going to keep turning, and I understand that. But Vince McMahon's going to make money despite himself. He's a millionaire who should be a billionaire. You know why he's not a billionaire? It's because he surrounds himself with glad-handing, nonsensical yes men like John Laurinaitis, who's going to tell him everything that he wants to hear. And I'd like to think that maybe this company will be better after Vince McMahon's dead. But the fact is, it's going to get taken over by his idiotic daughter and his doofus son-in-law and the rest of his stupid family. Let me tell you a personal story about Vince McMahon, all right? Do we do this whole bully camp?
I made a mistake.
I want a divorce.
It's weird not having him in house.
Starting over?
All right, that is obviously one of the great promos of all time. I mean, people will, regardless of whether or not the follow-up was good enough, people will talk about that promo for years.
Well, it is just called the Punk promo, right?
Yeah, it really is. It's just awesome. I'm going to go back. We're going to end this on a little bit of a lighter note. Last one. Save a few for next time, okay?
Okay.
All right, we're going to go out on our last one. Kurt Angle, cutting a promo on Triple H. This is SmackDown 2002. And Kurt Angle brings out – Kurt Angle's the heel here, but he's so funny, and people just started cheering him. They couldn't help it, and Triple H is the babyface. But the point is that Kurt Angle brings out this little stuffed gorilla and put a diaper on it. And
right.
This stuffed gorilla diaper – is Triple H's baby.
Triple H, yeah.
This promo is just hilarious.
Yes,
so everybody, I think people are gonna love this one.
Well, this is a great one, but we're talking about going out on a light note. I've got a snippet that I wanted to go out on. It's like a 10-second snippet.
Okay, and what is it?
Are we gonna mean time and in between time it now and go out on the promo?
Yeah, let's do that.
Okay, so. Well, what we'll do then, yeah, so we've got Kurt Angle as talking to Triple H's baby monkey, followed by at WrestleMania 13, Mankind and Vader fought the British Bulldog
and
Owen Hart. But the night before, Owen Hart was to present an award. And so the snippet that we've got to follow it all up is Owen Hart presenting the Slammy. So
great stuff. So we're going to go out with those two. I'm Mo, M-O, at We Talk Podcast. Contact me if you want to do any podcasts or blogging for We Talk Wrestling or We Talk Podcasts. And I'm Mo _ We Talk, M-O, no E.
And yes, and I'm Addy, ADDIE, at We Talk Wrestling. Contact me if you want to me to do your mother or your sister, if she's old enough. I'm 17. No. But at We Talk Wrestling is how to get us on Twitter. WeTalkWrestling.com is the website. We're on Stitcher and iTunes as well. So, get subscribing on there as well for all the shows. So that's going to do it then. In the meantime and in between time, that's it. Another edition of We Talk Wrestling. I hope you enjoyed the promos and enjoyed Kurt Angle and Owen Hart to close off.
WrestleMania. None other than your Olympic hero, that's who.
Not so fast.
Now, unlike most people in this town, I'm not a pathetic suck-up.
There you go, tell them.
But I simply stated my argument to Mr. McMahon. The fact that Triple H cheated in the Royal Rumble, reiterated as an Olympic gold medalist that I deserve a title shot for the undisputed title at WrestleMania. And thankfully, Mr. McMahon saw it my way. So there you have it. Your Olympic hero has a title shot at Mania, and all I have to do is beat Triple H at No Way Out.
That's easy.
That's a gimme. Now that should have been the big news item of the week. And as you airheads here in LA would say, oh, it's true.
They are airheads. Let me blow in here and give them a refill.
That should have created some buzz. But it was overshadowed by the other big announcement.
What's that?
That Stephanie McMahon Helmsley's having a baby.
Yes! She's pregnant! That's huge! Smashing!
Now, I never felt sorry for a baby before, not until last Monday night. Now, don't get me wrong. I'm sure that Stephanie's going to make a great mom. But imagine having to go through life with Triple H as your father. Wow. I mean, even as a fetus, the kid's smarter than his dad.
Oh!
Now, I'm not a scientist, but looking at Triple H with the sloping forehead.
Uh-oh.
And the mean, angry face. And the bare knuckles dragging on the ground. I mean, I'm not a scientist, but Triple H is not a man.
What?
He's something else. What? Literally.
What is he?
Now, Triple H, I understand that you visited a doctor today about your baby. I want you to forget about the doctor, because I know exactly what your baby's going to look like.
Uh-oh.
Check this out.
Wait a minute. You're going to get a preview of what the baby's going to look like? Hey, what?
It's Triple H Jr.
Oh, come on. Look at his nose. Look. That nose is huge, Michael.
Say hi, Triple H Jr. I am the baby game.
He's a furry little thing.
I know you are. And look what your Uncle Kurt got for you. He got you a little gift.
Uh-oh. A gift for the little game.
Look at the present, Triple H Jr.
What a great uncle he'd be.
Here, I'll open it up with you.
Oh, he's got a little diaper on the little game.
Oh my gosh.
What, you're wet on your...
It's baby banana.
This is humiliating.
What? And there's
wow. Feel this one for you, Triple H Jr.
He can be a real jerk, Anglican King.
Look!
Here you go, Triple H Jr.
What? Don't put it up his nose!
He's got the maturity level of an infant.
They're that damn good? Wow! You're just like your mommy. You must take after your mommy because she actually has manners. Unlike your mean, nasty, angry Neanderthal daddy.
Come on, Michael, you know this.
I'll put this away, Triple H Jr.
Uh-oh. Here comes the game.
Hey, Triple H, meet your bouncing baby boy.
Uh-oh, I was about
to get bounced. He even smells like you.
Uh-oh.
Actually, I think he went poo-poo.
Uh-oh.
But, you know, you guys look a lot alike. Look at the nose. You got a big, cute nose.
Don't mess with the soon-to-be dad!
What's this?
Owen Hart, Slammy Award winner.
Well, I did it again. And you know what?
No. You're presenting this.
You got to be thankful, man. Owen spent a whole year of his life promoting this crummy show.
I did it again.
Yes.
And I have nobody to thank. Once again, I did it all by my sweet little self. Two-time Slammy Award winner. I knew it. I'm a winner. I did it. Woo! Hey, Bulldog, you may have two titles, but you don't have two Slammies.
Yeah.
And speaking of that, Vader and Mankind, this Sunday at WrestleMania, you're going to be in for the fight of your life because the Bulldog and myself, we haven't been better ever. And we're going to beat you and Mankind. And you know what, Vader? You don't have two Slammies like I do because you're losers and we're winners. Me and my Slammies.
Hey, McMahon, have you seen Owens ask me about my Slammy bumper sticker?
Slammy bumper sticker?
Yeah.
Wait a minute. I mean, we don't even know that was supposed to be for the Best Bow Tie Award. He was supposed to read the nominees, and now look at him. Now he's beating Vader. This could be trouble. Oh! Oh, no! That waiter just... Oh, no!
What?
No! Vader! Oh, he just went down!
Oh!
Vader went down! Vader's down! He's back up! But he is stopped! Owen Hart is running for his life! And unfortunately, Vader, he's so... He is stopped!
That's why Owen's a Slammy Award winner! Look!
And he is hot! Tag Team Champion! There's Owen Hart!
Wait a minute, where's JR going? Hadn't he done enough damage from his interviews tonight?
I wanted to ask you, are you offended when Owen Hart said he was smarter than you and that he was the captain of the team?
I'm trying to stir him up. Listen, you're a cowboy wannabe. You leave Bulldog alone. He's got two belts.
Well, you
I
said
got
it.
Two slams.
You said on television.
We're the champions. We're going to stay the champions. I've got two belts. He's got two slams. Quit trying to stir it.
Well, who's the leader of the team?
I'm the leader. Leave him alone.
Well, you're the leader. British Bulldog and Owen Hart, ladies and gentlemen. The self-professed Owen Hart.
Get Ross over here, away from them. That big instigator.
Oh, my goodness.
Owen Hart's the leader of the team. You heard him say it. Sit down, Ross.